5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Wake up, you sip hot tea. Mindless music, radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half-truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. How are we doing? Educate, they advocate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is on.
Well, ladies and gentlemen. It's I, Rick Adams, today on the 28th of April, 2018. I sound a little bit different today. It's because I do have a little bit of a sinus problem with all the foul weather we've been having where I live, all the rain and constant, you know, the pollen now showing up. So I just replenished my supply of oil of oregano, P73, and I am getting some immediate relief. You know, you have to stay with it. You just can't put it aside and then say, I'll use it when I get sick. But I think all of us tend to do that, you know. And let me tell you, the air quality now is so bad, the air quality in this region that I'm in, and in just about every region of the country. Talk about Los Angeles and smog. I mean, it's getting increasingly worse. And yet all we hear about is that we must get our children vaccinated. We must get them protected by the state. We must make sure they don't take any kind of excessive vitamins or any superfoods, because we wouldn't want the little children to be harmed. We'd like to take care of them. And, of course, we can kill the babies in the womb and all sorts of fun things like that. But obey the state. We know what's best for you. Isn't that the way, huh? The way of the Antichrist. And that's what he wants. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, we go back and, you know, Jesus had this great debate with them, the scribes and the Pharisees. And I find it very interesting that he, in verse 33 of chapter 23 of Matthew, he says, "Ye serpents, brooded vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of the hellfire?" He says to them, you can't. He said, therefore, indeed, I sent you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues. He didn't say anything about churches or mosques. He said the synagogues of Satan. And persecute from city to city. And this especially, folks, is true of these end times, where some people, some of us, may be called up to witness before Antichrist, and his name is Jesus when he comes. He's Satan. He's going to be here looking just like the best Jesus you could ever imagine. The world will be deceived. And here is the real Jesus warning us of what is to come. He warns these people on Judgment Day that upon you may come the righteous blood of righteous Abel, from him all the way to Zacharias, the son of Berechiah, whom you slaughtered and murdered between the altar and the temple. And so he says that their day is coming. It's coming. He warns them again in verse 38. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one, that city that killed the prophets and the stones upon those who are sent to hear. He says, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings out, but you were not willing. See, he's offered them the truth, and they didn't want it right to begin because the truth is not in them. He warns them. He said, see, your house is left to you desolate. verse 38. So he warns them now about what's to come in the very near future, and this is the day in which you and I live today, this day and age in which we are witnessing the most turbulent times, the most evil of times that were in fact predicted, the end times, the times of the end indeed. So with that note, I wanted to prepare my mind and your mind for what is to come. You know, we hear a lot about guns today, and we hear a lot about history today. And, you know, this month of May coming up, on the month of May, we have a 100-year anniversary of war, and nothing but war. So help you, Satan. 100 years, a century of perpetual warfare for freedom, we're told. In 1918, you know, America committed her sons, and they went off to Europe to fight a war that they should never have been in, and about a couple of 100,000, 50, did not return. They were killed. And altogether, almost 20 million souls were killed. And so we said, enough's enough. The American people didn't want that war. And they certainly don't want any more wars. But along came the beast system, the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and the Mellons and so forth. And they prepared yet another war, the war after the war to end all wars. So who could be that dumb, that stupid, as to believe them? Again, once you've been to the cash register and you've seen you've been shortchanged, do you really want to go back again? Do you really want to drink that poisoned well water? I don't think so. And now we've been had with that poisoned well water. How many times? We've been in perpetual war just about every decade. Every single decade that I can remember. And so I prepared for you, because of, you know, my own vocal, you know, qualities today, a couple of clips we're going to play today in the first hour, and then Art will be with us in the second. But I think this clip of this video, it's a great audio, and it tells the story of what I've just given you a synopsis of. It really is a story of 100 years of tyranny, and how we were led then, how we were deceived then. Our grandparents, many of us, our great-grandparents, our parents perhaps, some of you old-timers, all deceived into getting involved in a draft. Now, some did not go. Some were obviously draft avoiders, people that would not go because they knew it was a rich man's war. You know, Lou Ayres, the actor, and some of the others just would not participate. And the same thing was true to a very small degree in World War II. You know, Flynn. Errol Flynn was a draft evader. He would not go. He thought it was just another one of those worldwide wars for profits, and he said so. He paid some time for it. His son, Sean, was killed in Vietnam and was never heard of again, missing in action. And again, as I said, he unfortunately had a very short movie career, a very few years in Vietnam, and that was it. So we never learn from history. We never learn that all wars are banker war. They're not for America. They're not for freedom. They're not for liberty. And what follows after the war is something even more horrendous. The huge governmental control over people. The police state in its various functions. It starts off a little small, then it gets a little bigger. And we have anti-sedition laws and so forth. You know, we have the Bush family doctrine that, well, if you don't support us, then you're against us. That means you don't support America. And they appeal to that vile nature. This is what the Kenites do, the people that Jesus addressed, those children of the wicked one, as he said in Matthew 23. So is there any wonder now that this generation is the last generation of time, that it can no longer continue to sustain this government? This country, that we are at the end of the road of the empire? I think only somebody who is totally blind cannot see it, or just is totally corrupt and won't see it. But either way, the reality must be that they're wrong. So history obviously proves that, and I think if we could bring up this clip now, if it's okay, we'll try to bring it up. It's a little bit less than 10 minutes, and I'll tell you where to cut it, Sam, but Basically, it tells the story of what I've just been saying, and I hope you find it to be most appropriate. Let's roll.
How many times have people told you that the media being owned by a select few isn't a problem? That these corporations and the bankers that fund them would never propagandize the people for their own interests? And certainly wouldn't endanger lives? That false flags aren't real? And that they would involve way too many people? That a secret that big could never be kept quiet? Media manipulation by bankers with money interests and governments beholden to those bankers is not the exception. It's the rule. There are countless verified examples that government schools conveniently leave out of the history books, and banker-funded media conglomerates are the last people that are going to give you a peek behind the curtain they've woven to protect themselves from the retribution they would surely face if the public were to discover just how little their lives mattered. One of the most well-documented examples of how war profiteers operate that parallels exactly with how these war profiteers operate today is the sinking of the Lusitania, an event that would claim the lives of nearly 2,000 people, including 195 Americans, and would be the false flag to get the American public behind a war that would later claim the lives of over 100,000 Americans. A war that up until this false flag planned by the elites, including J.P. Morgan and his Rothschild backers, and the Wilson administration, was only supported by 1 out of 10 Americans, and the motivations are the same as they've always been: money and power. In the early 1900s, J.P. Morgan, the American agent of the Rothschilds, sold war bonds in America to fund the English and the French in their war with Germany. Not only did they profit through handsome commissions from these bonds, the money raised was then spent at the companies owned by Morgan and the Rothschilds. War was big money. Total purchases would rise to an astronomical $3 billion, which in today's money would be roughly $74 billion. Morgan's firm became the largest purchaser on Earth. And when German U-boats appeared to be turning the tide against England, they faced a very real possibility that this ocean of money would dry up. This would mean substantial losses to their balance sheets. Additionally, this would also threaten England's ability to repay the billions of dollars it had borrowed with war bonds. In fact, Morgan was finding it difficult just to sell the bonds that funded his military-industrial complex, as it appeared the Germans might claim victory in a matter of months. To make matters worse, Morgan himself had loaned around $37 billion in today's money that he was now in danger of losing. Something had to be done. Morgan hired a committee that identified the 25 most influential newspapers. He then installed editors at each of the papers and paid them off to run stories that were pro-war. Eventually, he had over 1,000 newspaper editors on his payroll and used his vast advertising purchasing power to strong-arm the smaller papers to trumpet the same pro-war sentiment. The Rockefellers of Standard Oil, who would also profit handsomely from the war, used its own publishing companies to influence the people against Germany and funneled money to reluctant congressmen. Massive parades were held. But with all this campaigning and social engineering, the polling data still showed that 90% of Americans still favored staying out of the war. Enter the false flag that would plunge the world into war, killing over 100,000 Americans to protect the interests of the bankers and the ruling class. Winston Churchill, who knew all too well without American involvement in the war he would soon lose to Germany, began to work with President Wilson and the bankers on the false flag that would force the American people to support the war: the sinking of the Lusitania. The Lusitania, while built as a British passenger ocean liner, had been retrofitted with armor, revolving gun rings on its decks, and was classified by the British Navy as an armored auxiliary cruiser. Its lower passenger compartments had been removed to make room for the war munitions exported by America's industrial military complex. Churchill ordered the Lusitania and all ships to ignore orders from German U-boats to halt and be searched, and instead to engage the German U-boats or even ram them without warning. He also ordered crews not to treat captured U-boat crews as prisoners of war, but to execute them. This left the German Navy with only one option: to sink ships suspected of delivering war munitions on site. The Lusitania, whose previous captain resigned over Churchill's plan to use passengers as human shields, was loaded with weapons and ammunition sold by the J.P. Morgan Company in violation of every neutrality treaty. The German embassy in Washington filed a complaint to the Wilson administration and was ignored. The Germans went so far as to attempt to run ads in American newspapers warning Americans not to board the weapon-carrying ship traveling through a war zone, but the papers controlled by the bankers and by order of the State Department refused to run the ads. Using the media as a weapon against the people is not a new thing. The bankers and the politicians they owned were purposely sending unaware Americans right into a deadly trap. The so-called passenger liner carrying over 6 million rounds of ammunition was directed by the British Navy into an area where a German U-boat had recently fired upon two ships and was known to be active. To ensure the ship would be vulnerable, the destroyer that was supposed to escort the cargo to port was called back without notifying the Lusitania, leaving her a sitting duck in hostile waters. And on May 7th, 1915, close to 2,000 passengers, including 195 Americans, were sacrificed to the bankers as the German U-boat, U-20, fired at the hull, setting off a massive explosion when the munitions and the cargo ripped a hole so large in her starboard bow that one of the largest ships ever built sank in less than 18 minutes. The Lusitania was purposely loaded full of explosives and then led defenselessly into hostile waters in the hopes that it would be sunk by the Germans. This was the false flag that propelled America into what would become known as World War I, a war that easily could have ended before claiming the lives of over 100,000 Americans that died so that the military-industrial complex and the banking class could avoid losing money on a profitable war. A war that would later lead to another world war that would claim the lives of millions. All this so bankers could grow fat on the blood of the people that would line up for the slaughter, war after war after war. The details of this false flag have been largely hidden from the public. In fact, as recently as 1993, the official story was that the Lusitania had exploded because of coal dust in the boiler rooms, and that it had not been carrying ammunition or explosives. The real story remained hidden from the public for nearly 100 years, until in 2008 when divers found millions of rounds in the hull of the sunken wreckage. The media had successfully covered up a false flag for nearly a century, a fact that completely obliterates the notion that false flags involve too many people, and that surely someone would talk, and that the truth would get out. People who don't know their history are damned to repeat it. Do we have to wait another century before we get the truth of modern false flags perpetrated by the bankers and the deep state? When will the people stop confirming the ruling class's belief that we are all just cattle to be slaughtered for profit? Slaves that unknowingly prop them up and support their lifestyle of decadence and degeneracy, fighting for table scraps and vying for the coveted position as alpha slave, while the ruling class looks down at us not in pity, but with amusement and disgust. The technocrats are developing new ways to control us and eventually make us obsolete. We are rapidly approaching a future in which the ruling class will have successfully replaced us with lower IQ populations that are easier to control and easier to replace with automation. We must stop them now and expose them for who they are now, because we don't have another century to wait for the truth to come out.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that commentary. I think the gentleman speaks quite aptly, and I couldn't have said it better myself. The interesting thing is that I'm from Rhode Island, and the Providence Journal was one of those leading newspapers way back in the 1918 era that admitted they were actually lying for the government to get into the war. The publisher published that story some time ago as we inch our way toward the 100th year anniversary, and they admitted now that they were part of the lies, the corruption, that is the false information. So how many other papers? You've heard the main news source papers. From the New York Slime, onward, outward. We'll be right back. A lot more to come. Rick Adams, Uncensored.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
And we are back. McAdams Uncensored here on Republic Broadcasting Network. As I mentioned, you may have some newspapers in your state that were also fed this lie, this propaganda, this slander upon the Germans, that they were nefarious, and the German government, the Kaiser, just wanted to sink and kill the people on those ships, Americans and British in particular. Well, they lied to us. They lied to the British people. I mean, Churchill is really an amazing war criminal. When you go back in time and you look at how he served this peace system, World War One, post-World War One, 1919 Britain, and then in World War Two, the man passes all. He passes all expectations of a killer, of a bloodlustful killer, a man who would be controlled because of his ambitions for womanizing, for liquor, for booze, and for all of his other nefarious habits, not to mention being a member of the Hellfire Club, which was another one of those deep state type of clubs, similar to Bohemian Grove. Well, in any event, you know, that's what they do. They take a guy like him. They take a guy like Eisenhower. They take a guy like Roosevelt and Truman, with enough baggage in their closets and ready to roll. You know, the baggage, everybody's ready to get on that plane crash. And they do it for ego. They do it for pride. They do it because they think they're in control. Richard Nixon thought he was in control because of his own opportunistic tendencies. And then he found out he was not. He wanted, I believe, to win and get out of Vietnam. But that wasn't the plan. Not at all. The plan was to take Nixon down when he thought he was going to take them down. And the criminals emerged, you know, not just the Melvin Lairds and people like that, Secretary of Defense, but Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Here he was, a double agent going back to the war, World War II. His code name was Bohr, and he was a member of a spy ring. And he becomes Secretary of State under Nixon. So who ran Nixon? Nixon didn't run Nixon. Eisenhower was just a filthy politician, as, you know, Robert Welch did a pretty good job in his book, The Politician. Eisenhower just ignored it, snuffed at it, and didn't address it because he didn't want to spread the filth, you know, the smut, so to speak. But the record is very clear. In a couple of books, May God Forgive Us by Robert Welch, and again, May God Forgive Us. The American people still do not know, the world does not know, the full extent of this treasonous cabal from World War One on. And far be it for some scholastic, classroom teacher, some academician, I call them, you know, some academician, to be able to teach them the facts. They're not going to do that, except Matt Johnson, people like him, and then they lose their jobs. They lose their jobs because they tell the truth and they teach the truth. That's the kind of world that we live in. That's the kind of world Jesus addressed. So it's no surprise that we have so many lies in the media today. Now, I talk to people, younger people, of course, have a little bit more brains in one sense and access to media, and they won't go. They just don't want to go. And that's the key. You say, well, how do we resist? How do we resist these evil wars? First of all, you do it spiritually. You get right with God. You know God. He's in control. He's in control of the negative as well as the positive. And don't become a sacrificial lamb for Moloch. And that's what parents will do, unfortunately, when they send their kids off to war, or at least give them a pat on the back. You know, Johnny goes marching off to war. Well, the most important thing they can do is get into the scriptures, out of the militarism camp, and not go. And that is what brings these things to a conclusion. If there aren't servicemen, if there aren't people to man the boats, to man the plane, to the bombers, there is no war. Because you say, well, what about the country is at jeopardy? Our country does not exist anymore. It is not a land of milk and honey. It is not a land of freedom and liberty. We are captive to the one world invisible government. And if anything will protect Americans in America, it's not government. Far be it. It's God and their relationship to him. Now, isn't it interesting that they want us to remember the Maine in history? They want us to remember the Lusitania, to remember Pearl Harbor. But isn't it interesting that the one instance of a terror attack that was deliberate and planned on American unarmed servicemen in clear Mediterranean waters was the USS Liberty. Isn't that interesting? Now, I've never heard anyone anywhere say, remember the Liberty. Have you? I really haven't. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of you had heard of it. I haven't. It's very interesting how the war machine from World War One and Two, after the war, became the Defense Department, so that we no longer would win these wars. Now it would be brush wars, brush fire wars all over the world, for this evil beast system that Jesus denounced. He said the blood of all those from righteous Abel to Zechariah who was slain between the altar and the temple are on your hands. And that means all of these evil wars, these killings, these murders. Gaza today, we'll talk about that later in the last part of the last hour on Jerusalem Watch. But you know, all of this is nothing new under the sun. So I just wanted to add to what I'm saying now, one more thing before the break. I think it's coming up. But if in Rhode Island, we have a former senator, and I'll tell you, when we come back, I think you'll find this most interesting and most fascinating, and you can take it to the bank. And then, of course, we have some gun issues to take care of. So you listen up, both Rick Adams and Senator.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams is on. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on. Ouch.
Yes, indeed, we are on, and I was just about to relate this follow-up to what I've been saying. Here in my state, we had a former senator, and he became senator. His name is Lincoln Chafee. Lincoln Chafee. I'm sure the name is familiar to some of you who live near and in Rhode Island. His father was United States Senator John Chafee. Well, one day during the Clinton era, his father, John Chafee, just took a massive heart attack and he died. He died in office. And the sitting governor, Governor Allman, another Republican, appointed his son. Link Allman appointed Lincoln Chafee to that seat. And interestingly enough, he was the only one in the Republican Party that voted against the Bush War, the Bush criminal family satanic war in Iraq and Afghanistan. He took and he had the courage to do it. And he said he would vote the Republican Party then. He did. He announced, you know, that he would be running again for return to office. And he did. Now, one day I had an interesting talk when he was in office, Link Chafee, the son. He was, you know, as I say, appointed to that seat, not elected. I called and I spoke with one of his young interns. And I had a very interesting conversation because Link Chafee is considered to be far left. And yet many of his policies are actually the policies of the right and the conservative traditional conservative, basic America First policy going back to that era of World War One. So I had this chat with his intern, and I told him at this time, Ariel Sharon was butchering, as you know. Just at the time that Bush was leading his war, he got a green light to butcher and kill as many people as he could in occupied Palestine. And I brought that up to him, and I said, I protest this, and I think it's awful. And, you know, he agreed with me, this young intern. And not only did he agree with me, but he amplified. He actually went beyond that and was starting to have some loose lips and talking about how he felt about the Israeli government and so forth. Now, Link Chafee, his boss, of course, was going to be up for re-election. Now, this other Republican from a city in Rhode Island, his name is Stephen Laffey. Everybody, I said, was laughing at Laffey. Came along. He challenged Link Chafee in the Republican primary. In the Republican primary, because he was running once again for Senate. And then, unfortunately, but nevertheless, quite expectedly, I had read that the Israeli lobby and AIPAC had donated some $250,000 to $300,000 to get Link Chafee out of office, get rid of the Senate. And it worked. Link Chafee lost the primary. This clown, this Republican, calls himself Laughing at Laffey, was the mayor of Cranston, Rhode Island. He was one of these hit-and-run conservatives, kosher conservatives. And he lost, unfortunately, to U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who we have now. Sheldon Whitehouse is on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he is nothing but a mouthpiece, an empty suit, an empty brain, an empty head for these policies. So what happened is, just the other day, Link Chafee made a statement. He made a statement that he would run, probably in the Democratic primary, against the incumbent senator who replaced him. That's Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. And what did it for him? He said he's 95% sure he will do it. Is that he has issues with Russia, and he's concerned that we're on the path to war with Russia. He even suggested that Vladimir Putin is quite a heroic figure. Of course, you can imagine, the stirring up of passion when he says that. He's going against the grain. Now, he may be very liberal on many things, but he speaks his mind. Link Chafee is independent. He's a very independent, matter of fact, this is how I feel type of guy. So he's praising Putin. He's saying we're on the wrong path again. And now he switched to the Democratic primary again to run against Whitehouse. At least he's announced that looks like what we're going to do, he says. So we're on the path to a state of war with Russia. He doesn't like it. He's opposed to it. He thinks our policies in the Middle East are misdirected. He'd rather keep us home and spend the money at home, as socialistic as that is, certainly is the lesser of the evils. And so he's complaining. What did it for him was when Whitehouse apparently voted to reauthorize the War Powers Act. And this guy, Whitehouse, talks typically as a politician out of four sides of his mouth. He's for war, but he's against it. He's a moderate, but he's a militarist. And so Link Chafee is neither of those. Link Chafee, as I said, is left, and he's right. But you know what? The main thing is he is independent, and he's not going to be bought by those special interests. So he may have some crazy views on, on social issues, and I can understand that. But you know what? The main thing is that in the international arena, he has made himself somewhat of a pariah again within those circles of the, the Italian lobby, the Cosa Nostra. So I give him credit for that, and I say it takes a lot of courage to do that, especially now. I don't think it'll do him any good. I think he will be soundly defeated if he does, because he's taking a path of shoveling against the tide, and you know what that means. All right. Having said that, gun control. I want to get on to gun control. We have two clips here, I believe, and at least one, anyway. So we're going to see if we can hear one very shortly, and how it relates to the business of how gun control worked in communist China. And, it did work very well there. The people were disarmed. The people were just laid off, from their rocking chair. They were given a ride to the bank again, taken down that path to destruction And so this is why they didn't know what was going to hit them. Mao Zedong, who came to power, said, as far as he was concerned, all politics comes out of the barrel of a gun. A barrel of a gun. So, I want to play this clip, first of all. It's a portion of a much larger clip, not that much larger, but large enough, that I think is the most important point that you should listen to pertaining to how the communists came to power in Red China and how they intend to come to power here. If the synagogue of Satan and its bought and paid for politicians have their way. Let's see if we can roll that clip now.
What happens when self-defense is against the law? What happens when the protectors become the predators? What happens when innocents are betrayed? Imagine that two-thirds of all Americans disappear. 170 million people. Or that the countries of Germany, France, and Spain are virtually wiped off the map. 170 million people gone. In the 20th century, that's how many innocents were slaughtered, tortured, starved, mutilated, worked to death, bayoneted, hanged, annihilated at the hands of their governments. They had no means to defend themselves. Chinese culture is built on obligation and obedience. The individual serves family, society, and state. Law governs the masses, but rulers stand above the law. The people easily become pawns. 20th century China is filled with turmoil and war. In the early years, nationalists vie with communists for political control. By 1935, the nationalist government, now in full power, prohibits private ownership of arms. A person can be punished, even if he violates the law unintentionally. But the new laws do not bring peace to the disarmed and obedient citizens of China. 1942-44. 4 million die in famines, aggravated by government confiscation of crops. 1937-1949, the Sino-Japanese War. Men who refuse to be drafted into the army are tortured, mutilated, and killed. Many uncooperative soldiers are shot or starved to death. The toll, another 4 million. And in 1937, there is Nanking. 225,000 Japanese troops advance on the city. 300,000 Chinese soldiers flee, throwing down their weapons in the path of the oncoming Japanese war machine. Hundreds of thousands of children, women, sick, and old people are left to the mercy of a merciless foreign invader. Lacking any tradition of self-defense and forbidden to own firearms, the people of Nanking are cornered and helpless. They are raped, buried alive, burned alive, used for bayonet practice, and forced to watch as their own organs are cut out of them. Even a visiting Nazi observer is horrified. More misery is to come. When the communists take over in 1949, they impose their own laws to discourage and punish firearms ownership. The most harmless forms of gun ownership are forbidden. Yet the communists themselves are lawless under Chairman Mao's drive to produce an ideal society. From the agrarian reforms of the 1950s to the Cultural Revolution near the end of Mao's reign, men, women, and children are treated as tools of the government or as enemies of the state. During 38 long years, communist violence and economic experiments wipe out an additional 35 million Chinese, and possibly as many as 100 million. Chairman Mao said that guns were the ultimate source of all political power. He controlled all the guns.
Well, folks, I think that clip is excellent. I think it gives you a little historic perspective on what gun control has done and how it has worked so well in these countries. These communist dictatorships, as well as fascist dictatorships, it doesn't really matter in the end. Communists, of course, are the greatest of evils ever on the face of the earth in the 20th century, but you don't read about it and you won't hear about it in school. That's for sure. Now, what about the Stalin one? I think we do have the Stalin clip now. Let's see if we can play that one too, okay? All right, then.
In the early 1930s, the outside world believes the Soviet Union is a paradise for workers and peasants. But for millions, that paradise is hell. In those years, the people of Ukraine, the Volga Basin, and the Caucasus are being deliberately starved to death by their own government. The groundwork for that cold-blooded famine was laid when the communists came to power in 1917. Almost immediately, they passed a series of laws, making it nearly impossible for non-party members to own firearms. They used licensing laws to tell them exactly who had guns, and with that information, they confiscated firearms. Penalties for possession of weapons grew more and more harsh. The Soviet leader, Joseph Stalin, fears enemies everywhere, but especially in Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe. Ukraine's prosperous farmers crave independence. Stalin craves their grain to pay for industrial expansion. In 1929, Stalin decrees that all farmland, livestock, and produce in the Soviet Union belong to the state. Farmers are ordered to surrender their land and livestock and move to government-owned collective farms. But first, to terrify the rest into submission, several million of the most prosperous farmers are sent to forced labor or killed outright. These kulaks, as the best farmers are called, are demonized and excluded from society. Armed government thugs steal their property, sneering, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for it all belongs to us." Next, Stalin demands extraordinary quotas of grain, quotas no one could possibly meet, quotas enforced by soldiers with guns. Many farmers rebel. Resistance is fierce. But because of 10 years of firearms confiscations, the helpless people can fight back only with farm tools or sabotage. The worst is still to come. In 1932, Stalin takes the ultimate revenge on those who dared oppose him. Because Stalin controls all food distribution, he can cut off food supplies and starve entire regions. Because he controls all travel with internal passports, his secret police can force starving millions to remain within the devastated lands. Grain elevators stand full, but grain rots on the ground as Stalin refuses to distribute food. The powerless people can do nothing to stop their master. Catastrophe strikes and lasts for 2 endless years. Spies watch for anyone trying to take grain from the fields. Anyone caught hiding food is executed. Desperate families resort to cannibalism. Meanwhile, the New York Times Pulitzer Prize-winning Moscow correspondent Walter Duranty assures the world that there is no famine. And Stalin dupes the world by actually increasing the amount of grain exported from the Soviet Union. The United States and the League of Nations embrace and recognize the prosperous Soviet Union. From Moscow, Times reporter Durante secretly confides the truth to Western governments, that as many as 10 million defenseless lives have been wiped out with politically engineered stuff.
And that's enough. We've reached the end of that clip. Okay, I think we've really shown you in both instances the greatest mass murderers in the history of the 20th century, how they came to power and how they stayed in power. Now, somebody wanted to know the other clip, the first clip that I played on historical fantasy and revisionism and how we've been duped for 100 years. The name of that video, and it's still up on YouTube, is How They Stole Your Future 100 Years Ago. All right, we have a break, and we'll come right back to more Rick Adams Uncensored.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com by Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just 2 bottles, a 4-month supply. I take Extendivite 3 times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, we're back again in the first hour now of a video that I mentioned to you is How They Stole Your Future 100 Years Ago by Black Pilled. Okay, that's his channel. I think it was very good, and it is one of many up there. It just so happens that a couple of weeks ago we did tape 3 programs for my local statewide public access program. The first one was on gun control, which will be airing soon and be posted up on YouTube. And then we do have the other one on Syria and the Middle East and the war for greater Israel and what that's all about. Another fascinating show. And the third one has to do in general with this war scenario, the beast system, and war for peace. And peace is the most frightening thing of all, because that's the fake peace that Satan brings. So I put in a Brother Nathaniel video as well on Gaza. I think he spelled it out quite well, and I think it's very good and propitious that he do the speaking about that tribe, and he did. He did a marvelous job in discussing how Gaza today is the latest of all of that lineage of blood spilling, the lineage from Cain. So, if the shoe fits, you wear it. And if the glove fits, you wear it. So, need I say more? All right, so the thing, again, that I would like to stress about this whole gun issue now is the very people who are leading this gun charge, consisting of student organizers, consisting of so-called Sally soccer moms, you know, people from all walks of life. Generally, I would say most of them are just useful idiots, as Lenin said. But not all. The ringleaders, and quite a few I've seen in my area, have demonstrated their allegiance to another power that is an agenda that's not just about clearing up violence in the schools. It's about taking the Second Amendment and thrashing. And that's what it really essentially comes right down to. They hate the Second Amendment. Now, the Second Amendment in and of itself is nothing, because the Second Amendment merely codifies what God has given his people for rights to self-defense. And this brings me back to guns. You know, it's not guns in the end that are going to save us. It really wasn't the guns. As you probably know, at Lexington and Concord, when the shot, you know, fired around the world took place, it was their faith. It was their allegiance to God. That was what made the colonists victorious. It was their faith in the Almighty, and the Declaration of Independence basically codified that faith. Now, Patrick Henry is my hero, because even though Paul Revere is one of my great idols and nickname here, you know that Patrick Henry opposed ratification of that Constitution, because he said it will be the ultimate death knell of freedom in America. And sure enough, it has. It's become, instead of a chain on the government, it has become a chain on the people. It has become the exact opposite, a chain on the rights of the people, God-given rights, and authority for the states. So who's kidding whom? We've been lied to. 4th of July is nothing but a relic of the past. And no independence. All right, we'll come back. And Art will be coming, joining me in the second hour. Art from Philly. Stay tuned.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.